It's 8:36 on the Jefferson Exchange on Jefferson Public Radio's News and Information Service. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. You can find us not only here on the radio, but we might actually be here online if you listen to us there. That is always a possibility. You can find our website at jeffexchange.org with program topics and recordings of past programs and a look ahead to the next edition of the Jefferson Exchange. All this contained within the confines of the newly overhauled ijpr.org. And that Listen Live link lets you listen to any of the three services of Jefferson Public Radio right there online. Jefferson Exchange also maintains a presence on Facebook and a presence on Twitter. You can find us both those places. And, of course, you can take part in our conversations as they happen on the air in the morning. 800-838-3760 is the number that works anywhere in our listening area. Our Rogue Valley local number is 541-552-6782, and our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Unlike Europe and parts of Asia, we do not have true high-speed passenger trains in the United States yet. It is true the Acela trains Amtrak runs in the East Coast get up to 150 miles an hour in bursts, but they don't sustain the high speeds over the entire run. That is a Boston to Washington via New York system. California voters approved high-speed rail bonds for a San Francisco-Los Angeles line 5 years ago. Think about the timing. In 2008, the economy was riding high and consumer confidence with it. Things have changed. Work is now getting started on the line after a number of obstacles. Lisa Alley is with the California High-Speed Rail Authority and our guest here on the Jefferson Exchange. Lisa, thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Thank you.
So what work has actually taken place thus far? What's the projection now for the near term?
Well, the near term is we plan to be operational by 2022 for the first 300 miles that will get you from the city of Merced, California, down into the San Fernando Valley in the Southern California area. The current work that's begun is between the cities of Madera and Fresno, which is the first construction for the project. It's about 29 miles where we're having to purchase property, clear grubbing, do some utility relocation work, etc. And that's kind of the first phase of what we're calling construction of the nation's first high-speed rail system.
So when you talk about the first 300 miles, I mean, have some people criticized this as a train to nowhere? I mean, eventually you're talking about connecting the ends to San Francisco and Los Angeles, but the true high-speed section will just be short of either city.
No, actually, the first high-speed rail will take you from Merced all the way into the San Fernando Valley. We haven't decided if it's going to be stopping in Palmdale or Burbank or in Anaheim yet because we're still in the early environmental process. But eventually, you're going to be able to get from Merced all the way into the L.A. Basin. Additionally, we're investing millions of dollars in current rail infrastructure throughout the state so that you can get on a train, let's say in San Francisco, now and get to Merced. It won't be high speed, but once you get to Merced, then you'll be able to get on high speed down into the L.A. Basin. And that's all going to be operational by 2022.
All right. So what the first section, I mean, nothing will be operational until 2022. Is there a plan for any sort of pilot section? Like, you know, would the first 29 miles from Fresno to Madera be operational just as a demonstration?
No, it'll be 130 miles from Merced to Bakersfield. That will be the first demonstration, the first quote unquote test track. And that we hope to have up and running by 2017.
All right. So either way, we're talking a long time. What are some of the major obstacles in trying to set up a system like this?
Well, I think there's a lot of different factors that play into it. You know, we have to work with the stakeholders and the impacted parties. You know, a lot of people are actually excited about high-speed rail. You know, the Central Valley is one of the hardest hit areas for unemployment and economic downturn. So we're going to be creating thousands of jobs in the region for people building the high-speed rail system. And once it's up and running for maintenance and operation, we also have people moving there that are working on the project now. They have to live somewhere. They have to eat somewhere. So we're helping the economy turn itself around. You know, we also are going through very interesting terrain. Through the Central Valley, it's flat, but once we get up through the what's called the Tehachapi Mountains, down south into Southern California, you have real environmental and engineering challenges, but they've been done in other countries and they'll be done here. I also think it's telling the word and the story of this project. This project was, like you introduced, voted on in 2008 by the voters, and there's been a lot of change and different things with the project. But I think overall, there are great benefits happening now for the state of California. We see it as a whole statewide program, improving the economy, improving the environment, and providing real improvements to rail around the state.
One of the major things that seems to have changed a lot since the bonds passed is the cost projections. They have gone way up, and then they have come down as well. What happened there in the first place to make them go up, and then why have they come down since that time?
Well, part of the reason that the price was so high in the beginning is we were looking at just doing, you know, in the end, 520 miles of new track and new infrastructure. And in about, you know, 100 years, no one has built that much new infrastructure in the state of California outside of the water project. Then what happened is 2 years ago, the team looked at the fact that instead of just doing new track, why don't we upgrade what we currently have and integrate it more so it's a whole statewide modernization program. That helped us bring the cost down. In the peninsula and in the Bay Area, for example, they already have established train tracks. So we're going to be upgrading and electrifying them to prepare for high-speed rail. And that helped bring some of the cost down, looking at more of what we call the blended and integrated system.
All right, so the trains will use some existing tracks, some existing terminals, and then connect to their own true high-speed segments, which is actually not unlike what happens with the TGV in France and into Switzerland.
Exactly. A lot of what we're doing is based off of proven systems that work overseas. For example, Taiwan, they have a very aggressive high-speed rail system there that works where they have new track in some areas where track doesn't exist, like for us, the Central Valley. But then they're also integrated with current and infrastructure that's in place. Taiwan's a perfect example. There are some different ones internationally that we're kind of modeling what we're doing after them because they've been proven successful.
So the original projection, I believe, was to get from San Francisco to Los Angeles by high-speed electric train in about 2 hours and 40 minutes. With the system you're describing now, with the first 300 miles to be finished by 2022, first of all, would people be able to travel the entire distance San Francisco to Los Angeles? If so, over what time?
The projection right now is to get from the Bay Area to L.A., it will take about 2 hours and 40 minutes. And that allows for trains to go up to speeds of 200 miles an hour in the less urban areas. We are still, you know, following Prop 1A. I mean, the law is the law, and that's what we have to follow. And we are doing engineering feats to make that happen. So by, you know, 2026, you'll be able to get from the Bay Area down into the L.A. Basin in under 2 hours and 40 minutes.
But the initial segment then?
The initial segment from Merced to the San Fernando Valley, it depends. It depends. Are you taking an express? Or are you going to stop along all of the different station options that we have? It just kind of depends on what the rider's wanting to do.
All right. Well, if they take an express then from Merced to the San Fernando Valley, are we talking 2 hours, 40 minutes just for that segment or less?
No, it would not be that because you're only going from Merced. That was the 2 hours and 40 minutes is from San Francisco down to L.A. once the full system is built out.
All right. When we talk about the engineering challenges, particularly going through the Tehachapi Mountains, anybody who's ever driven I-5 from Bakersfield on south to L.A. knows what a climb that can be up and out of Tejon Ranch on the north end. Are there projections for actual tunnels to be built at this point? I mean, and there are obviously a couple ways it can go because what Europe has been doing in recent years is building tunnels essentially from valley floor to valley floor completely through the mountain for 18 to 20 miles. I imagine we're talking that kind of project here.
Well, we're still looking at different options to get us to the Tehachapi Mountains, but it is safe to say that there will be some sort of tunneling that will have to be going on through there to get the train at the speeds and the heights and the upskirt to go the fastest that we need through the Tehachapi. So, yes, we're analyzing and checking feasibility right now from an environmental perspective and from an engineering perspective about how many tunnels, how long do the tunnels need to be, how high do they need to be. And that also goes for once we get into more urban areas between the Palmdale and Los Angeles area. If there's opportunities there that provide tunnels, then we will study them and see if those are the most A, fiscal things to do, and B, environmentally, if there's something that we can do as well.
Lisa Alley is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. She's a spokesperson with the California High-Speed Rail Authority. We are talking about high-speed rail coming to California. Work has begun in the Fresno area. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange to talk about the near term or the long term. How would you like to ride on a high-speed train from San Francisco to Los Angeles, or where else would you like to see passenger trains running? Since they do run through parts of our region, but not all. Join us on the Exchange at 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. Our Rogue Valley local number, 541-552-6782. Email address, jx@jeffnet.org. Here's Grumpy John in Grants Pass. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Lisa Alley.
Thanks very much. seems to me like you guys are starting off by ignoring some of the obstacles, like property acquisition and the tunnel option, in order to get started. Because once you're started, you can just keep on sucking money while you upgrade the costs. And my question is, what are you going to do when you start bouncing deer off a 200-mile-an-hour train?
All right, let's take those in a couple different pieces. Thanks for that, Grumpy John. Well, let's deal with the money-sucking claim first, and then we'll move on to the deer.
Well, right now, the legislature here in California has appropriated about $6 billion for us to get this first 130-mile section built and upgrade throughout the state. We won't start building something until we have additional funds secured. So that's kind of one of the ways that we're looking at it. And we have a legislature and Congress on the East Coast watching our every move. So we're making sure that we're using the money to get the best value for the state and the taxpayers.
So $6 billion from the legislature of a project that is currently slated north of $40 billion, is that right?
The whole system-wide build-out, 520 miles, is estimated to cost $68 billion.
$68 billion. Okay, so not even quite 10% of the money from the state legislature, but obviously the Obama administration made high-speed rail money available as part of the stimulus in the recession. So how much federal money came in as well?
So what we've got is, of the $6 billion that I spoke of, 3.3 of it is federal funding, and about $4 billion of it is state money voted on by the taxpayers through Prop 1A.
All right. Now, to Grumpy John's other question about deer bouncing off 220-mile-an-hour trains, I mean, the rights of way for high-speed rail around the world are heavily fenced, aren't they?
Yeah, so our train will have no grade crossing. So what that means is our train will go without ever having a car cross the tracks or animals, for example. We will have an animal and a pedestrian barrier up so that when the trains are going, 220 miles an hour, there is no crossing. There'll be no arms going down. That stuff is all built into the planning and to the design in which we're doing to build the system.
But it certainly would add to the cost per mile, I'm thinking.
I don't think that's not accurate. That's not true in the sense it doesn't add to the cost. It's a cost that we've associated into it, and it's also what most high-speed rails around the world do. There are never cars that cross that because of the safety factors. So it's just part of the cost that we budget for what we're doing.
But I mean, grade separation just means more engineering. You have to get you either have to get roads over or under the tracks, and so one or the other has to be elevated.
That is correct. And that's, again, all budgeted into the cost estimates that we've put together.
Is there an actual per mile construction cost figure that is in use at the California High Speed Rail Authority?
I'm sure there is, but I don't have that number off the top of my head.
All right. But then the infrastructure we're talking about here is not just tracks and trains, but overhead electrical wires and fencing and all the other structures involved.
Exactly. It also includes station locations. You know, we have stations that we'll be building throughout. It also includes a number of different things that support an infrastructure of this system. We have maintenance facilities that we're going to need to be building to maintain the trains. We're going to have what's called a heavy maintenance facility where we're actually going to build the trains to then get on the track. So there's a number of different things besides just the track work that people visually see.
Well, on the one hand, California seems to be one of the most logical places in the country to attempt to build a high-speed rail system because it does have the greatest population of any state and big cities that stand far apart, like Los Angeles and San Francisco, where there are clogged highways and jet planes as well. But there's also the issue of the fact that California also is a regulation-heavy state, and particularly with CEQA, the California Environmental Quality Act. I mean, how many hoops do you have to jump through with environmental reports? Is there one that can be done for the whole system, or does every length of track more than 5 miles or something require its own environmental report?
So what we've done is we've done a programmatic level wide environmental document, and that was for the entire system. And then what we did is we broke them up into 9 sections. And for example, Merced to Fresno was our first section, and that did have its own CEQA document and NEPA document, the federal regulated environmental review process. Then for every of the rest of the 8 remaining sections, we do go through the CEQA and the NEPA environmental process for those sections.
All right, so CEQA and NEPA, National Environmental Policy Act. So yes, a lot of hoops to jump through environmentally. What then has to happen? And now, when you would talk about the work going on, what work is physically going on? Is there ground clearing going on yet anywhere?
No, what we're doing right now is this is a design build project. So we executed our first contract for about $985 million with a firm based out of California called Tudor Perini, Zachary Parsons. They're a joint venture. And that contract was executed in August. And from August to currently, what they've been doing is they've been getting design up to 100%. We're finalizing getting permits that we need to get from different federal and state agencies. We're also working on the property acquisition process. And they have to hire people and get people moved in and get a full-fledged operation up and running. We anticipate, you know, heavy construction happening after the first of the year, whether it's demoing an overpass or working on a trench that we've got to put in the city of Fresno. All of that stuff, the planning is continuing, and we're getting design up to 100% to allow for some of that more heavy and visual construction to occur.
We're talking about California's high-speed rail plans with Lisa Alley from the California High-Speed Rail Authority here on the Jefferson Exchange. You can join this discussion. Our phone numbers, if you'd like to talk about high-speed trains and how to get to them, 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Lisa, we've talked a lot about the route at the southern end, and now there's still some question about where to go on the Los Angeles end of things. What about the route on the northern end? I mean, are we talking about going over Altamont Pass more directly to San Francisco? Are we talking about going through Sacramento? What, is there a solid plan there yet?
There's two different things that we're looking at in that area. One is we'll eventually be connecting Merced north through what's called Modesto, Stockton, and Sacramento. And then we'll be going from the Merced area over through the town of Gilroy and up into the peninsula of the Bay Area. That part of the project is not projected to begin for several years. But what we're doing right now is we're investing about $600 million to upgrade and modernize what's called the Caltrain corridor that connects a lot of the Bay Area and the South Bay Area to have transit and transportation opportunities there. So we're working on things like that to prepare once we decide and we are able to go up north, rumor said, and up into the Northern California region.
All right. So unlike Amtrak, you're not talking about trying to get just to Oakland or Emeryville. You're talking about actually getting to San Francisco proper. And by going through Gilroy, you then use the Caltrain right-of-way that already exists.
Yes. And we're eventually going to stop in what's called the Transbay Terminal, which is a huge investment and infrastructure project that the city and the Bay Area is working on in downtown, where eventually that's where high-speed rail will stop in Northern California, where you can then connect with BART, you can connect with Caltrain. There's a number of different transportation hubs that are based in that Transbay Terminal that's currently under construction. And that is ultimately our final destination once we get into the city of San Francisco.
And the artist's conceptions of what the Transbay Terminal will look like are quite impressive, as are the depictions of what California high-speed rail could look like. I mean, people talk about Transbay Terminal as the Grand Central of the West, if all things come to fruition. Now, the $600 million you're spending on the Caltrain system, though, is that actually to electrify those tracks? Because they're currently diesel-powered.
That is. It's to install what's called positive train control, which is a safety measure regulated by the federal government to help us in case of earthquakes, in case of other people on the track or things like that. Then we're also going to be upgrading and electrifying the Caltrain corridor through the $600 million investment. And that's all in preparation for us to come, so that once we build our system out towards there, we'll be able to utilize those tracks. Not only will we get to use them, but then the Caltrain and the ridership there is getting a benefit now and something that they've been longing for quite a while.
We've skirted around the issue of land acquisition a couple times here. I want to approach it more directly, though. I mean, has land actually been bought yet? And is there the possibility of eminent domain and condemnation of land if people don't come to a figure willingly?
Of course. We anticipate and expect to have to take and acquire 370 parcels for that first 29-mile segment we're building in the Central Valley. We are in a number of different phases with that. Some properties are currently in escrow. Some properties are still asking for requiring a second appraisal. Some are just in the beginning process. But, yes, this project can go down the eminent domain route if necessary. You know, of course we don't want to do that. We want to work with property owners and provide them the assistance they need. And then if there is somebody that's a holdout and is not able to come to an agreement with us, we will go before a court and a judge and go down that way. But it's our goal and our hope that we can work with these impacted property owners and provide them the relocation assistance that they're owed and that they're due, so that it makes it an easy transition for everyone involved.
In some ways, are there more hoops to jump through because the High Speed Rail Authority is a governmental agency, in a sense that, because we've watched gas pipelines get built across our region a couple of times now, and it seems like that happens practically overnight. Certainly not to the view of the landowners, who are not particularly pleased about pipelines going across their property, but that sort of construction seems to go quite fast, and this seems like a much longer process.
I think for us, we're building the first high-speed rail in the nation and the first high-speed rail in California. So the first of anything always has challenges that it faces. And I think for this project in particular, we're kind of doing things for the first time. But once we kind of get processes in place and our infrastructure in place, we anticipate as we continue to move that it will only get smoother. You know, government agencies have built mega projects all over the place, whether it's the UC system here in California, the state highway system. You know, we like to use the example of the Golden Gate Bridge. When it was being built, the people of California called it an upside-down rat trap, and it had over 2,000 lawsuits in its first year. But could you imagine if the state hadn't built the Golden Gate Bridge, what the pictures of our state would be like? So we know that there's some adversity and some conflict that we have to get through in the beginning and will follow us all along. But I think we're doing positive things to combat that and work with the citizens of California to make this project a reality.
So I have to believe there are Buy American and Buy California provisions in the legislation authorizing high-speed rail authorities. So the trains would have to be built in California too?
We do have Buy America and Buy California stipulations. I can't say whether or not the trains have to be built in California, but what we are doing is we're partnering with Amtrak, and we're going to be trying to procure the first ever trains to be built in the U.S. for high-speed rail specific. And by doing it with Amtrak, not only will we benefit from it, but Amtrak will be able to benefit from it on the Northeast Corridor like you spoke about earlier.
So these are based on the Acela train sets that are currently in use?
That will be different than those trains. These are going to be first-of-the-kind trains for high-speed rail in the United States.
All right. Well, for people hungry to see more than artists' conceptions, I mean, when is the first time they might actually see a mock-up or something that they could tangibly see in front of them?
I would anticipate that in at least 2 years. We have not even gone out in what's called the bidding process to find somebody to build these trains. We anticipate doing that before this year is over, and then we will spend about a year hearing from people about who wants to build them, what their cost estimates would be, and then we have to go through a rigorous process of deeming who's the most qualified to do the work, and then we would hopefully by then be able to start seeing what trains might look like. We have to assume they're going to look similar to those overseas. There's nothing, you know, trains are trains. There's not a lot of difference that you can do with them. But
okay, Lisa Alley, we have to go. Thanks for your time. Yep. Very much appreciate it. California High Speed Rail Authority at work, looking for the full system in 2022.